I don't know if I want to touch the mic now. Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are doing well. Today, we're going to be reading from Genesis 29, verse 31 to 35, and then continuing on to chapter 30 for like the first 24 verses. It's going to be a doozy, so if you have your Bibles, please turn there and follow along. There's a lot of reading here, so just get started. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son." And she called his name Simeon. Also, she conceived and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore, his name was Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. Then Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, and she envied her sister Leah. She said to Jacob, "Give me children, or I shall die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God, who has withheld you from the fruit of the womb?" Then she said, "Here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her, so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Rachel said, "God has judged me, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, "God's fortune has come." So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." So she called his name Asher. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have already taken my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came home from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come into me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son, and she said, "God has taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph. Rachel then said, "May the Lord add to me another son." This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and though there is a lot here, there is so much you want to say to us through these family matters and through these obscure parts of your word. But we know that you are saying something to us, and I pray that that would be revealed to us here today. I pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to take a water break after that reading. It's quite a long read. If you guys don't mind, could you go to that picture that I have? It should be on Proclaim. I put that picture there. Yeah, that one. So for those of you who've gotten to know me in the past year, we've come full circle. Even if you know me vaguely, you know that I have a passion for street ministry. There is a ministry that I have been a part of for the last few years called Streetlight, and I tend to talk about it a lot. It is a ministry where a bunch of students from Trinity Western University come down to the downtown east side on a Friday night and give out hot chocolate to people in the community. This tends to be pretty nice when it gets colder during the school year, and you know it's all rainy and stuff, and you know it really brightens people's days when there's a nice hot cup of hot chocolate. This is a vehicle of which we are able to connect people to Union Gospel Mission. Sometimes we even get the opportunity to pray for people as we hand out hot chocolate, and we talk to the people in the community, and sometimes even have the opportunity to share the gospel. Ultimately, Streetlight is a ministry that serves the community to show that we care for them and that the people, they really appreciate it. At the end of each night, we have these debriefs where we talk about the people we've met and the people we've served and talked to and shared the gospel with throughout the night. And, you know, we have these, we share these stories with one another. And we close off our debriefs with prayer. And we pray with gladness, despite the brokenness that we have seen, the brokenness that people tell us about. But still we pray prayers of gladness for these encounters because we celebrate that God cares for his people. After all, this is why Streetlight exists. So here's a funky little picture of us. This was our group last year. Hey, you switched the thing back to the worship song. What's going on here? Anyway, there's our group there, and we had a pretty large group, and a lot of these guys, you know, they're from areas like Abbotsford. Some of them are from Alberta or various places, not the city, not in the big city of Vancouver. And for some of them, going into the downtown east side is an eye-opening experience, to put it lightly. But over the year, you know, they also grow this passion, and this is something that really adds to why I talk about Streetlight so much and why I have this love for it so much. It's because even, like, you know, these Bible school people, they really get to share what they've been learning and share the Word of God to people that need to hear the Word of God. Anyway, that's enough of the picture now. You can get rid of it. We celebrate our lives because God cares for his people. Even when life is totally messed up, we can celebrate that God cares for us. I just read here the story of Leah and Rachel, found in Genesis 29 and 30. And let's be honest, this is one pretty messed up story of two sisters fighting for one man's affection. What makes it worse is that through some trickery and scheming, they are both married to him. So now they compete for his favoritism. So these sisters compete in the only way they appear to know how. having a fertility contest. So it starts with Leah having four sons, one after another, right? Just like, boop, 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 boop. And while Rachel's not having any luck with that, she's like, you know, come on, how come I don't have any kids? And even though some of their motives might be wrong, as we've read, we see that Leah is thankful to God for giving her blessings in her hardship. Even though, yes, her praise is basically saying, like, thank God that I have these kids so my husband will pay attention to me, is basically what she's saying. But still, she addresses God and gives him praise. To be fair, though, you kind of have to feel bad for Leah. After all, there's nothing like living with a guy who thinks your sister's hotter than you. By the way, fellas, dating tip of the month. If you meet your girlfriend's family and she has a sister, do not compliment her sister. Just don't. It saves you a lot of it just saves you trouble. Jacob, he had problems there. You can see he had problems because of that, you know. Don't do it. The Bible mentions that God sees that Leah was unloved, so he intervenes into her life and allows her to have children. What we see is that God is gracious and caring in his act to allow Leah to have children in her troubles of being unloved. We can easily go through life feeling as if we are unloved or always sitting in second place, like Leah did. Now, you may not be caught up in some silly love triangle, but you definitely compete with others for recognition, whether it's from work, a person's romantic affection, or fighting with your siblings so your parents pay more attention to you. It is easy to look at other people's lives and see what you lack. Then there are those times when you are treated unfairly. You face injustice, discrimination, or even the discomforts of life circumstances. In the midst of all this chaos, God intervenes in your life. And you may be able to recall those, and in our Christianese language, we call them God moments. There's those moments where you're like, you go through them, you're like, wow, that was like the presence of God right there, right? One of those moments where you know God has seen you in your troubles. We are here, and we are able to celebrate and give praise to God for his works in our lives, just like Leah did in her hardships. In the same way, we ought to look at our own lives and be joyful that God has brought the provisions in our lives that we have and be grateful for them. We can learn from Leah that we can be thankful and celebrate our lives because God cares for his people in the midst of the drama. Think of how God has carried PGMBC for the last 35 years. I did a little bit of archive reading on, you know, some of the church history, right? And, you know, it starts out as this little small church in the Strathcona community that wanted to bring together a lot of Chinese immigrants. That's how it kind of started out, right? Just, you know, a bunch of these passionate of Christians were like, hey, we want to have a church in this community for, you know, a lot of Chinese immigrant families. And so, you know, after tons of meetings and paperwork and stuff 35 years ago, before the age of computers and easy emailing for all that stuff, they fought tooth and nail to start what we have here. God has provided, in one sense, the four sons of the Cantonese, Mandarin, English congregations, and of course the children's worship congregation, which kind of is a congregation of its own, so I kind of count it. So the four children of PGMBC. God has allowed those things to grow and to become an independent body and a strong body of believers in 35 years. That's something we're celebrating, guys. I'm surprised I haven't heard any amens on that one. But anyway, continuing on with the narrative, Rachel naturally gets jealous. To be fair, I mean, her sister has all these kids. She's got none, even though Jacob originally was more attracted to her. But now there's this whole, like, cultural thing and the importance of kids. And Leah's got 4. Rachel's got 0. So Rachel's got a problem. So she gives Jacob her servant Bilhah to be a surrogate mother, which sounds like a terrible idea, but that's how things work. And Bilhah has 2 of Jacob's sons. Leah naturally follows up with this course of action, you know, seeing that Rachel's kind of some trickery, right? It's like, oh, no, you're not pulling a fast one on me. So she gives Jacob her servant, Zilpah, and there are 2 more sons there. If you want to see if you can imagine any good TV drama, this one almost takes the cake. Like, you have, you know, Jacob, and you got his 4 wives and a whole bunch of kids. I mean, imagine trying to raise, like, how many has he got here? 8 kids and 4 wives? It's a lot. And I mean, yeah, sure, maybe, you know, his father-in-law paid him a lot, but to raise a family like that, it must have been quite the challenge for him. And, you know, we can easily make the argument that God obviously saw him in his drama, if you will, and provided for him. But we're kind of focusing on Rachel and Leah here. Now, to add more drama to the mix, Leah has 2 more sons and a daughter. So if we had a scoreboard, that would be 7 for Leah and Rachel still at 0. You know, I'm going to put 7 and 0 since we're not going to count the servants because, you know, 2 and 2 cancel. So 7 and 0. Now just imagine how Rachel must feel. I kind of painted out for you how Leah might have felt at the beginning. You know, it even says that when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, that's how it starts out. But here, Rachel must feel like I'm the one who's hated. Not by Jacob. Rachel has Jacob's affection. But maybe she had the feeling that she was hated by God. God, this is so unfair. Why is it that my sister has all this prosperity and I don't? I want to say that Jacob, you know, his love for me is enough. But this is so unfair. When you put it like that, she must have been suffering from some kind of depression at some point. And to be fair, I think that would be true for any of us when we look at the lives of others and see that, why God, why do they have what I don't have? Do you hate me, God? Because of my afflictions? It's easy to fall into this kind of mindset because of the way that our culture teaches us that, you know, you are what you have. If you have a lot, you are a lot. And so we have Rachel here who has basically nothing and having that feeling that, well, since I have nothing, I must be nothing. And to have that feeling that, God, you've cheated me in life. It isn't fair. Something I've observed while reading the passage is that each son is essentially named to represent a celebration of God's care in Leah's and Rachel's lives. These sons were symbols, if you will, of God's provision for his people. I mean, I could go through the whole passage again, but that would be a doozy. But think of like how, I'll just read the first part with Leah. When Leah, you know, bore a son, she called him Reuben, saying, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." I mean, Leah's giving a bit of a celebration, pointing out that this is God's action in my life. As little as it is, God has given this to me. And, you know, Leah does it a whole bunch of times. And finally, we get to the last part with Rachel. And Rachel says, "Thank you, God. You've heard my reproach. You've seen the struggles I've had." And that's how Rachel praises God as well. Of course, reading this particular passage, it can be challenging to accept how these women can find joy in this baby wars, and how they're able to praise God for the small things amidst all the drama they've had to put up with. This is the equivalent of us being thankful that, hey, it's summertime and we have $1 drink at McDonald's, but yet we face religious persecution. We're discriminated against because of race, gender, or we experience hatred from people just because they hate you. However, it is easy to miss the small victories that we have in our lives, and even easier to miss when God is caring for us in our lives. Even in the midst of the madness called life, we celebrate our lives because God cares for us. While the drama still goes on around us, we can be thankful for all the things God has given to us, because we know that we have enough in God himself. Despite the drama that you are going through now, reflect on what God has done in your life. If you're having trouble reflecting now, the Bible tells us that we are given new life in Jesus that frees us from sin. That's already a huge victory that we have in our lives. That God has given his son Jesus to free us from sin. We ought to reflect on the victory that we have there and celebrate that God has done this. This is something so valuable that everything else seems so small in comparison. If you take a look at Acts chapter 5, and I'm just going to reference the last part, verse 40 to 42, there's this part where the apostles were put in jail. They were preaching and stuff, and the temple authorities were like, "Hey, we can't have this." So they take the apostles, throw them in jail. Crazy story, you know, that there's a prison break. The apostles are like, you know, they're in prison, and then this angel comes along and helps them out, and next day they're outside teaching again, and all the religious authorities are like, "Hey, weren't these guys supposed to be in jail? Like, what's going on here?" So they brought them to court, and they were like, "Hey, we don't want you to preach this Jesus stuff." And the apostles are like, "Nope, we got to obey God." And then how do the religious authorities act? Well, let's just beat them a little bit, give them a good few punches and whatever, and then we'll let them go, because we really can't do much. So, you know, after a couple punches to the face, the apostles leave rejoicing. They rejoice because they knew that they were right with God, even if that meant to take a beating for their faith. The apostles rejoice because they knew they were right with God and were happy because God cared for them in their lives. And in the same way, we are to be joyful of God's gift of life to us in Jesus despite the madness we live in, despite the hopelessness you may feel. I mean, back to the whole streetlight thing I keep talking about. There are many times we have heard very, very sad stories. Stories of just hopelessness is the word I have for it. If I was to summarize the stuff I hear, the one word would be hopelessness. That's the feeling people have. They have this feeling that, oh, they are hated by people, by the government, even by God. But we are to show that God cares for his people as we care for them. Think of your own life and all the little victories that you have. Your families, your jobs, moments in your life that you cherish and reflect on from time to time. Never forget to thank God. Never forget to praise God, because we have these things. As we remember that this is God's way of showing he cares for us, as he provides for us. Reflecting back on the fact that this is the 35th anniversary, and we're making a big deal out of it with this, you know, float at dinner on Saturday. And there's all these announcements about it. It's a big deal. We've made it 35 years. And of course we are thankful. At least we should be. We should be thankful of what God has been doing in those 35 years. I've been here for one. I've already seen some of the stuff God is doing. Some of what you do in your fellowships and whatever. I've got a little bit of hints here and there of, you know, how God cares for all of you. I've been here for 1 year, and I already celebrate that. Wow, this is cool stuff God's doing here. 35 years. How can we not be thankful that God cares for his people? The Leah and Rachel narrative ends with Rachel finally becoming pregnant and giving birth to Joseph. Genesis 30:24 states, she named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. Rachel celebrates that God had opened her womb and prays that God will add more onto her. In the same way, we thank God for the things of the past. I mean, we thank him for the 35 years that we have at PG. But we also pray for the things that God is going to do in the future. As we're approaching the 35th anniversary, we are to celebrate all the things God has already done in this church, yet also be looking forward to the future and the future endeavors. You know, with the things like the Syrian Refugee Project, the Vancouver Christian School Project, the summer soccer camp, etc., etc. We are to celebrate today for what God is doing as we are guided into these future endeavors. So, here's to another 35 years. Let's pray.